Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope your computer is locked on to our website, kptz.org. Our website's more than a way to listen to today's show. For example, you can find the biographies of all our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. You can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's shows as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who were those hardy souls who braved sitting out on Siren's deck the other day when we just had a glimmer of winter sunshine? There are some people who seem impervious to the weather. Stand-up paddleboarders are out almost every day, and I routinely see fishermen wading to shore, no boots, no wetsuits, just bare legs. The little kids, I understand, kids can't feel cold water, but grown-ups? Well, maybe there aren't that many grown-ups around Port Townsend. Anyhow, Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. This show, Our Town, tries to profile some of the singular personalities who live here, but the show is only a half hour long, which is definitely not enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Kelly Duran, who's the technical director for Centrum. Among her many accomplishments, Kelly recently finished a stint directing Port Townsend High School's performance of the Thornton Wilder Pulitzer Prize-winning play named Our Town. Get it? This show is called Our Town, and so is the play. But aside from the fact that both focus on life in a small American town, there's not necessarily that many similarities. But we'll see about that. Let's start at the beginning, though. Kelly, are you a local girl born and bred on the Olympic Peninsula?
Yes, I am. I was raised for part of the time in Squim.
In Squim?
Yeah.
And did you go to high school in Squim?
Yes.
I always ask people about their high school years because I think somehow it often stamps them in a way. They become something that maybe they started on in high school. What were you like in high school?
I was a little bit more silly than I am now.
Yeah, okay.
I was just a normal high schooler. I wasn't a straight A student, but I wasn't a bad student.
And did you get involved in theater productions when you were in high school?
Well, my way out of Algebra 2 was by getting into drama. It was the only class available.
That sounds like a wonderful trade-off to me. Yeah. I never was very good at math.
I did theater in high school.
Okay.
After that.
What performance do you remember?
My biggest performance was my senior class play, which was Alice in Wonderland.
And did you get to play Alice?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What did you wear for most of it?
My mom still has the outfit. It's a blue dress with a white apron, of course.
Yes, you went the whole full route for Alice. Wow. Yeah. That sounds like fun. Were you one of these kids that really knew exactly what you're going to be when you grew up?
Actually, I wanted to study theater after that, and I got a scholarship to go study theater, but my dad actually didn't want me to study theater, so I did pre-nursing at George Fox College for 2 years. Then I went up to Western Washington University, and then I changed to history at that time. 25 credits before graduating from Western, I dropped out.
What'd you do to support yourself?
I waited tables and actually supported myself pretty well.
Yeah, you can make a reasonable amount of money at the right kind of restaurant, and you're the right kind of personality and everything, and don't drop trays on people's heads. And little mishaps like that. So were you waiting tables in the Bellingham area?
Yes. And then I met somebody and got married and started having kids.
How many kids do you have?
I have 4 kids. My oldest is 37, and I have a 35-year-old and a 32-year-old and a 30-year-old.
Wow. What are they doing now, just briefly?
My oldest son is teaching in Tacoma at Mount Tahoma High School. He's teaching plant biology to credit-shy youth. My second son is teaching history in China at an international high school.
Wow.
And then my daughter is nurse in the emergency room at Providence Hospital in Portland. Okay. And then my youngest daughter works facilitating talks on race and equity in schools. Yeah.
Well, it sounds
and
like
in schools and businesses. Yeah.
Sounds like they're all doing great. Well, let's turn back the clock to when they were little, or the first couple were little at first. What were you, a full-time housewife or mother? What did you do?
I was a mom at home, except that I worked part-time. In the beginning, I worked part-time at a convent cooking.
Now, was this still in Bellingham?
No, this was in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I also did little things, like I taught art and I coached cheerleaders.
Wow. Were you a cheerleader?
I said no.
Okay, but you coached them? Okay, that's fine. Yeah. So when you were cooking for the nuns, I mean, I always imagine nuns eating only the freshest and no spices, nothing, just fresh. Is that true, or do they actually eat hot fudge sundaes and things like that?
I don't know about the hot fudge sundaes, but they hired me to teach them how to cook more healthy.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I did, is I would cook healthy meals. I would cook for special occasions, too, for them.
Mm-hmm. And how long did that last?
I did that for 2 years. We lived in L.A. for 2 years.
And then, what was your husband doing at that point in time?
He was teaching at the Catholic school that was connected to that convent.
Okay, what order of nuns was it?
They were the Sisters of the Holy Names. Definitely that was a really great time for me, because those sisters were really working. One of them started the Peace and Justice Center in Los Angeles, and there was just a lot of information that I got about racial profiling and farm workers and social justice.
Well, there certainly were a lot of activist nuns and priests in the LA area. I don't know if that's still true. So you were part-time teaching art and cheerleaders at the school?
Mm-hmm.
At the same school.
Yeah.
And then what did you do next?
Then we went up to Seattle, and I had 3 more kids.
Okay.
I had a daycare at my house, which actually was very lucrative. I just did it 4 days a week for a half day, but it was sort of like a little preschool where I would do art projects with the kids and play with them. And
your own kids were there too, so they played
with
them?
My own kids, yeah. I just had about 4 other kids, but it just was kind of like a little playgroup 4 days a week, but other moms paid me, and it was fantastic. It made it so that I could stay home with my kids.
Yeah, yeah. You must have infinite patience to deal with that many small children.
Yeah, but it was only 4 hours a day, 4 days a week.
But you had the other kids were presumably still around. But yeah. Oh, well. But yeah, I admire people who can do things like that and not let it get under their skin when they're running around screaming their heads off.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you had a good time doing it.
I did.
After that?
Then we moved to Tacoma, and when I was in Tacoma, I started working as a stagehand.
How did that happen?
My son was in elementary school. He got auditioned for an opera, actually, Tacoma Opera, and he got the part in this opera. I was working at a restaurant, waiting tables. I wasn't able to go to any of the rehearsals, and my friend would take him there. I ended up quitting my job for other reasons, but then I was able to go to those rehearsals. After that was over, I talked to the people who were working at the Pantages Theater and just said, are there any jobs available? They said yes. And wow. I applied and I got it. And then I ended up working there for 14 years.
Wow. That's being in the right place at the right time,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I was lucky.
And what were the skill set that you think they first saw in you and then developed further?
Well, I think it was just because I was a helpful and agreeable person. I don't think I had any great skills, although I did have some experience in theater, but it was a training job. It was through the Stagehands Union. It was a one-year training program, so I really actually didn't need to have a whole lot of experience, and that's where I learned about lighting and sound. Then the next year, I became the lead, which I wasn't really prepared to do that, but work really taught me everything. I got experience working in theater, and so I just learned it on the job. Yeah.
You know, oddly enough, I think having experience with managing a bunch of small kids may have really helped you in the theater, because you're juggling all sorts of balls in the air, and it's really important for you not to lose it.
Yeah, maybe.
And some people, you know, something will set them off, and they lose sight of things, but... And I'm sure the theater is like that, that there are always little crises here and there, and it would take a certain skill to muddle through it and keep all the, you know, keep herding those cats.
Yeah.
So you were there 14 years. You mentioned the Pantages, but I think you told me earlier there were multiple theaters that you actually,
right,
venues that
it
you
was,
worked at.
It was the Pantages, the Rialto, and then Theater on the Square, which is all part of the Broadway Center in Tacoma.
Are they all active at the same time, or is it sort of you do one gig at this one and then they're dark and you go to the next?
They're all active at the same time, and we each had a specific job that we took care of on a normal basis. So, for instance, I worked at the Rialto as the lead, but whenever there was a larger crew than the four at the Pantages, I was always first to be called in on that crew. I was also part of IATSE Local 15, and so my job at the Broadway Center was about half-time over the course of a year, although it's always very irregular. As a stagehand, you work at all different venues within the Seattle area. So I worked at the Fifth Avenue, the Key Arena, the Paramount, Benaroya Hall, in the beginning, the Kingdome.
Well, that's wide-ranging experience. You used the term that you were the lead. What does that mean?
The lead, I guess it would be like the technical director.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm not really that familiar with the terminology in that context. Earlier you mentioned that when you were in L.A., you were working with some nuns who were very into social issues. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have said to me before that this is something, the theme that you have been very much interested in and a part of. Was that true during this era as well?
Yes. When I first went to college, I went to a Quaker college, and our history teacher really taught us history in a way that I had never learned history. It sort of opened up my whole vision of things. We also had this group that really educated us. Well, both of my dorm parents were Black, and they just taught us a lot about racial inequity in this country. I don't know, I just always felt like I had a responsibility to work for social justice in my life.
And let's put that in the context of your children. How did you instill those sort of values into your children?
It's hard to know how you instill anything in your children, but one of the things that I did is I got divorced early on, and I bought a house in the Hilltop in Tacoma because it was the only house that I could afford. I didn't really choose to do that, but they were raised in a very mixed neighborhood. We also had a lot of crime. Part of the reason why I got that house so cheap is that it was the biggest street in the whole town for meth.
Oh, good.
And so I got that house for $59,000 and then fixed it up and raised the kids there. I also went to a church in Tacoma, St. Leo's, where there was a priest, Father Bill Bixel, who was a big inspiration for me as far as social justice until he died. And he still is inspiring to me.
You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show's called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest is Kelly Duran, who's technical director for Centrum and recently directed the Port Townsend High School production of the Thornton Wilder play, Our Town. It must have been pretty tough for you raising four kids as a single mom in a fairly tough neighborhood. Did you manage to shepherd your kids through the adolescent temptations?
Oh, yeah. It was tough because I was working nights often. Also, my work was irregular. I just hoped that I would have enough money every month. My second son started smoking pot at school and drinking at school and actually ended up getting kicked out of school three times from Stadium High School and finally got expelled permanently. That was super tough. I really had a hard time feeling just hopeless about that. At that time, there was a new school that was being started in Tacoma called Tacoma School of the Arts. And he wanted to go to that school after he had been kicked out of Stadium. And so he asked the director if he could go to that school when they opened. And he said, "I'm sorry, Pat, we are only taking sophomores and you've already finished your sophomore year." He said, "Unless you're willing to repeat your sophomore year, we could take you back. If you wanted to repeat your sophomore year, we could take you into Tacoma School of the Arts." And so that's actually what Pat did. And he really turned his life around.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
So often you hear that things spiral out of control. And It sounds like he helped himself by doing that. That's really wonderful. All along now, you're working for the theaters. And what after Tacoma?
Well, I stayed at the theater. But in the meantime, that school was being opened. And they asked me if I would teach there the second year after they were open. I was on their board for setting up their theater in their school. And then the next year, the person who they had hired to teach theater there decided that she didn't want to stay working there. And so the next year, they asked if I would teach their theater program.
Right.
And I said no, because I didn't have a teaching degree. I didn't really know how to teach. And then they asked me again at the end of the summer. And 9/11 had happened. A lot of work had dried up for me, and I was really poor that year. So I thought, well, they have direct deposit, so I'll do this job maybe for 2 years. And then I ended up doing it for 17 years at that school. I ended up teaching there, and I stayed with my job at the Broadway Center, being the lead at the Rialto for 7 more years after that, doing both jobs.
How did you manage to balance that?
I don't know. It's kind of amazing.
And you still had kids at home, right?
I did, yeah. But actually, two of my kids graduated from that school, so they were with me.
Right.
And both those jobs were 5 minutes from my house.
That's immense because you know how much time gets eaten up with commuting. So how did you end up here on the Olympic Peninsula? What happened there?
Because I was in Tacoma working at the theater and working at the school, I had access to all of this stage equipment. And there was this man who was, he lives in Port Townsend, and he was one of the directors of Wintergrass. And they held their festival in Tacoma, and they needed some staging. So he came and talked to me.
Yeah.
I had been single for a long time and was kind of thinking I would never find anybody. It didn't strike me right at first, but I went to Wintergrass and met him, and he showed me around. They had a value statement at the end of their program that really inspired me, this value of abundance and of always doing the right thing. And I just was thinking, I think this guy is a really good guy. And then actually when he came to bring back all of the staging, I had it at the school. And so I had all my students go help them unload it. And I told my students, I said, I'm going to ask this guy on a date. But I didn't.
Oh, no.
But luckily, he called me a week later and asked me on a date. So.
And I take it this blossomed?
Yeah. So that was 14 years ago. And we've been together ever since.
Now, somebody else told me that he is fairly well known these days in music circles.
He is one of the directors of Wintergrass.
And his name is?
His name is Stephen Ruffo.
Okay. Yeah. I gather many people know that name. But you met him, you were still in Tacoma, and he was living where?
He was living here in Port Townsend. So for 10 years, we were married, and I would stay in Tacoma and teach, and he would stay here, and then we would have weekends sometimes, and we always had spring break and winter break and summer.
It's not that far away. It's not like you were on a different continent.
It's an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, not, you were used to only being 5 minutes from work, so it might have seemed big, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Okay, but you have since become the technical director for Centrum. How did that come about?
Well, that was just kind of a lucky thing. I had made my New Year's resolution that I was going to try to find a job in Port Townsend, but I didn't do anything about it. And then it was maybe just January 10th, Rob Berman from Centrum called me on the phone, and I was teaching, and I was co-teaching, so I was able to answer the phone. And he said, I have a whole group of people in my office who are asking me to call you to see if you would come and be our technical director. I just kind of felt like it was a sign because I had made that New Year's resolution. And so I took a month to think about it and then found out if I could retire from teaching, if I could get out and still get my retirement. And I got everything taken care of and just decided to leave Tacoma and come here full time.
Okay. And when did you actually start at Centrum?
I started at Centrum in March of part time, just very, very part time in March of 2017, and then took over in June.
Just when the Centrum season is coming into full swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And not all of our listeners will understand what a technical director does, so could you just summarize it for us?
So the technical director at Centrum does all of the lighting, arranges for sound, for projection, staging, anything that needs to happen. And at Centrum, there's a lot of moving parts because there's two theaters. There's sometimes we have, for instance, for jazz in the clubs, I'm setting up 7 spaces for performance. And then there's also workshops too. One of the things that when I started working at Centrum, before I said yes, I went to 3 of my old students who had graduated from Tacoma School of the Arts who were working in theater doing lighting and stage managing, and asked them if they would consider coming up to Port Townsend for the summer and working with me. So I ended up actually getting 5 of my old students to come. And one of the things at Tacoma School of the Arts is that I had a real passion to teach women how to do lighting and sound, to really give them a way to feel powerful. And I had this idea that it would be so cool at Centrum if we had all women. Of course, that isn't how it ended up, but we have a very good mix. Anyway, they did come and they stayed for 3 months and then they came back. They've all come for 3 years, which has been really wonderful.
So how did you get involved with the high school? Actually, we went and saw the play, Our Town, and loved it. I thought the students were great at it. How did it come about that you ended up doing it?
Somebody must have recommended that I do it, and they called me. Oh, I know. Jennifer, who had been the, maybe she did. I don't actually know why they called me to do it. But it was perfect timing because Centrum is less than a half-time job because it's mostly during the summer. So last year, I taught at Peninsula College full-time for somebody who was on sabbatical, and I had just found out that I wouldn't be teaching at all this year because enrollment was down at Peninsula College. And right on my way home, I was feeling a little bit sad about that. And right on my way home, Port Townsend High School called me and asked if I would direct the fall play. So I said yes. Yeah.
And how long does it take to get it together to do a play? It's my understanding from what you said, this is not a drama class. These are different students from different years. So how does it come together? What do you do?
They all just came to auditions. Chris Pearson set up those auditions, and they just all came and met me, and I ended up choosing a play where I could accommodate everyone so that everyone could have a part. I was meeting with them 4 days a week, 2.5 hours a day. And we started September 3rd and then opened on November 8th. And I would say that that is just barely enough time. It was fine.
Yeah.
But 3 months, I think, is a good amount of time. But it just depends on how much time you have with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, well, several of them were outstanding,
yeah.
Particularly Zoe, who
yes.
Played the stage manager. She
yeah.
was excellent and really admire her.
She's amazing, and she's 14 years old.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yes.
She'll go places,
yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
That's great. Are you going to be continuing directing things for the high school?
I want to continue, yeah. I loved it. I think it's my dharma to do that. It keeps on popping up.
Well, you know, you juggle many balls and you juggle them well.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for being on the show. And just one last quick question before the editor tears his hair out. What do you like about Port Townsend?
I think the people here are really, really amazing. I think it's a beautiful place, but there's a lot of beautiful places. But really, I would say our friends, the people that I know, the kids at the high school are amazing, too.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, I want to thank you for being on the show. Time has zipped by. I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the man in the glass booth, editor and producer of Our Town. He will smooth out all mumbles and grumbles and make me and my guests sound ever so much more intelligent and eloquent than we actually are. I want to thank three people who are deeply devoted to this station: Larry Stein, program director, Kate Ingram, station manager, and Robert Ambrose, chairman of the board. All work incredibly hard to make this a great station. I also want to thank you, the listener. KPTC 91.9 FM is a community radio station. We're all volunteers here. We need volunteers. So if you'd like to work here, come on down and visit with us and see what you can donate to. We also want to encourage you to make cash donations too. We're raising money to move out of our current world headquarters in a trailer in the parking lot of Mountain View School. We're going to get to move to Fort Worden soon. Well, maybe in a year, but we will make it. Thank you so much for listening. I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.